and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a gorgeous Saratoga morning right here in front of Clear Court. The horses have been working out this morning behind us and enjoying it. And traffic has been coming down the street, heading over to the track, and I'm sure it's going to be a gorgeous afternoon as well with a couple of nice stakes races, Coaching Club American Oaks and the Caress. If you're planning on coming, you picked the perfect day. The Chamber of Commerce weather up here, and a great show this morning as well. A little bit later on, caught up with John Velasquez. We'll of course talk about Malathat in the Coaching Club American Oaks. Next Saturday is Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund Awareness Day. I wanted John to come in, he's on the board there, talk a little bit about that, a great racing charity. So that'll be next Saturday with an autograph session with all the jockeys. So we'll talk about that as well, and a couple other topics with Johnny V. So tune in for that a little bit later. Carrie Bryan, who was a longtime assistant for Jonathan Shepherd, went off on her own about a year or so ago, or a little less than that, and had her first Saratoga starter on Thursday. Won a grade one. Won the Smithwick on Saturday with her first starter up here at Saratoga. So she will join us as well. But to kick off the show, as I say, a couple of stakes races today. And with the favorite in the Caress this afternoon and Robin Sparkles, it's trainer Bruce Brown. Bruce, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Happy to have you, on board and talk a little bit about Robin Sparkles, certainly, but to start out, I wanted to go back a couple of days. I talked to you in the paddock about coming on and subsequently watched you step into the winner's circle a couple of days ago. We're going to watch the stretch run with Chloe Rose from a couple of days ago. She'll be the number 10 horse in here. And if I'm not right, you're maybe your third or fourth starter of the meet, and you wind up with a win. It's nice to get a win early at Saratoga.
Yeah, the first one's always the hardest one, and I got beat a dirty nose opening day, so you kind of have that in your mind of thinking down the road. I don't want to be 6 weeks from now thinking about that nose opening day. So it was good to get that one. Hopefully we have a few more in us.
And I believe she was claimed out of this race.
Yeah, there were a bunch of horses claimed out of there, but that's Saratoga for you. It's just when you run them where they belong and where you have a good chance, you're more than likely going to lose them in the race.
And I'm up in the press box, and so I get the reports come through of the shakes and whatnot, and it really has been popular, the claiming game up here. And I was looking at the notes that Naira puts out a few days ago. They had talked to you, and it seems like you're going to be involved in the claiming game up here as well.
Yeah, we had been trying to get some before down at Belmont and just had no luck with a few shakes down there and just didn't really find anything that we liked down there. So I have like half a dozen guys that are ready to do something when we see something. So yeah, we should be, we'll be in a lot of those shakes.
Gambling on the other side, yeah. Trying to be the winner on the other
Absolutely.
Side there. We root for you having good luck there. But certainly this afternoon in the Caress, rooting for you to have good luck as well. Boy, this is a really nice little New York bred. And we're going to look at Robin Sparkles winning an allowance optional claimer back on June 24th. She will be the number 5 horse here. She comes in off of this victory. Talk a little bit about this allowance optional claiming win and how it sets her up for this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean it was a tough allowance race. I mean it was a lot like a stake, and she just alpha. We weren't sure what to expect off of the long dirt race, if it might have taken some of the speed out of her, but it really didn't. She really thrived and was getting back to what she what she truly wants to do, and that's sprinting on the grass. So it was good to kind of see that race on the dirt, or you know, didn't have any ill effects on her.
Yeah, that's a nice looking win. I mean, there was not a bead of sweat for folks who had played her coming down the stretch there. It was very impressive. Nice little field of a half a dozen this afternoon. What are your thoughts coming into this afternoon's race?
Yeah, it's a small, like you said, it's a small group, but it's a good group of horses, and we just have to take advantage of her speed and just kind of let the race go through us. I think that's the best, you know, when you have a horse like her that likes to kind of get free running on the lead, just kind of let her do her thing. And she ran great up here last year when she broke her maiden on the grass, so she's proven over the course, and Jose knows her well. She breezed unbelievable up here the other day on the Oklahoma track, and she really hasn't given us any inclination that she's losing anything. She's been eating great up here. She's everything, everything points to that she's going to do her part, and just somebody's going to have to really run big to beat her.
Does that add some confidence that she had the win up here last year?
Yeah, it always does. You never know how, just this whole place with the paddock and everything, you just never know. It's always good to have horses that have been there before, because it's just a different atmosphere than anywhere. So it's just that's a good check mark to have, that she's run up here and she's got a win over the course, so it's not new for her.
And again, reading the notes from Naira, I think it was after that workout last, what was it, last Friday over
there?
You had mentioned she's one of those horses that seems to thrive up here.
Yeah, she does. A lot of them do, but she just really, she loves to look out her back window, and she just really, likes to, we graze her a lot up here, and she just really enjoys it up here. She likes to train and likes to do her thing, but then she kind of likes to just chill out and be left alone. But she always has done, very good up here.
Record so far for her, 6 wins and 2 seconds in 9 starts, and has bounced around between open company and state bred company. Boy, I mean, to have a nice little New York bred like this that is, one on dirt 2 back, one on turf, the race we just saw, all kinds of versatility and options. Talk about how soon you realized you had something special like this.
Yeah, she, from when we started training her along, like getting her ready for her first race, she really showed a lot. I had Jose Breezer before she ever ran, and he kind of said the same thing. And she's really, and if you look at pictures of her from last year to this year, she just has really developed. And you never really know how they're going to develop as they go along, but she's just taken great strides. She's filled out. She doesn't look like a turf sprinter. She's a big, long filly, but she's done nothing but just keep progressing as we've gone. The more we've done with her, the better she's gotten.
And I know it's one at a time, but a good race today, she'll head for the Smart and Fancy later in the meet?
That would be the plan, yeah. That would be the plan, just, keep her up here and go from there. That's the one thing about the turf sprints, especially for fillies. They're few and far in between,
yeah.
So they're it's kind of a specialized group, so you just have to kind of – eventually we'll have to start shipping around, but if there's races here, we'll go for those.
You mentioned it's kind of a specialized group, and as a handicapper, I always look for, in turf sprint stakes, horses that do, thrive with that specialty. I think it is a specialist kind of a game, turf sprinting. Do you have to train differently?
I wouldn't say differently. I mean, a lot of, with those type of horses, you don't necessarily have to train as hard a lot of times, because you're not asking them to go further. But, the biggest thing is just trying to keep them relax, because they are usually more of a high strung, they're just kind of jacked up as far as that goes. But other than that, it's just kind of keeping them happy and not doing too much, just keeping them fresh.
And again, good luck this afternoon with Robin Sparkle. She goes in as the morning line favorite coming off the race we saw with the 6 wins and 9 starts. And as I say, you have all kinds of options, her being a state bred, turf and dirt. It's got to feel great to have a horse like that. So good luck this afternoon. I just wanted to go back as I was looking on Equibase and, looking for stats and whatnot. I wanted to go back and have you talk about another nice – you have won turf sprints up here at Saratoga before, and I wanted to go back and show the Lucky Coin from 2014, Spring to the Sky. We'll watch the stretch run here. be the sixth horse. So again, a Turf Sprint Stakes win on your resume with this one a few years back. But I wanted to pull this horse up and just let you talk a little bit about this one. One of those lunch pail war horse kind of runners. 55 starts, 8 wins, 10 seconds, 5 thirds, over $700,000 in the bank. Just reflect a little bit on Spring to the Sky.
Yeah, he was great. He meant a lot to us. The owner, Anthony McCarthy, is from actually right here on Wright Street. He's probably about not even half a mile from where we're sitting. And, you know, he was just great for my family. My son kind of came, you know, my son was born right around when he was kind of coming around. So they kind of grew together. But he was a great horse. And he was another one, loved it up here and ran some very good races up here. So it was always fun times to have horses like that. That's what we're looking for. So.
Yeah, put nearly $750,000 in the bank and a number of wins and some Saratoga Stakes races. Certainly one to remember. Just whenever we get trainers over here, and I always think up here at Saratoga when we're doing these shows, we're broadcasting to folks who are maybe new to the game and whatnot. So I like to help introduce folks that maybe they can root for in the afternoon and get a little background. So how'd you get into the game?
My oldest brother, Steve, he trained in the Pennsylvania-Delaware circuit for a long time. There's 20 years in between us, but he, I always looked up to him as a kid and would work for him in the summer. So that's kind of how I got the bug. And so I worked for him when I was younger and then worked for John Forbes went to Monmouth Park, worked for him, was able to rub tail the cat when he was
ready. Nice.
Yeah, so we won the King's Bishop up here, and I was his groom. So that was all just great times. But that's kind of how I got going, and then was assistant for Timmy Hills here for a long time, and then went on my own in 2008, and just just trying to keep things going.
Yeah, very good. Reflect a little bit as well. I've asked everybody in here the past year. Obviously, I keep saying the racing game did a great job of keeping things going during the pandemic, but it has been special the past few days up in Saratoga with the fans in the stands. From a trainer's perspective, how is it different this year as compared to last year?
Last year was just, it was just surreal to be able, yeah. It was just like, just kind of eerie, just, when races were running, just being in the grandstand and just how empty it was. And it's just so, and then you were thinking, maybe it would never get back to normal at that point, but now it's so good to just see the fans back and the excitement and just everything is really getting back to how it was. And up here August is always even busy. It doesn't really get going until August comes around, and I just can't wait to see old faces and kind of get back and catch up and just get back to normal and try to get this thing behind us.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been fun to see the people that we weren't able to see last year, and everybody has just been thrilled to be here, certainly. Also, just looking at the workouts, and we mentioned Robin Sparkles was across the street at the Oklahoma about a little over a week ago. I'm just curious, because they did the big refurbishment over there. What are your impressions this year of Oklahoma?
So far, it's been great. It's been so wet. It's been a little hard to really get we haven't had a long stretch of dry weather. But so far, knock on wood, I haven't had any issues. It seems very fair. Fast horses breeze fast, slow horses breeze, not as fast. It's very, very honest and even. I wouldn't say it really, goes one way or the other. So I like it.
You ever bring horses over here? To the court?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great, especially for nervous horses. And
that's what everybody says. Yeah. It's more of a mental thing. You're in a different little world back here.
Yeah, it kind of clicks their head off a little bit. Just they don't really even realize what they're doing. So a lot of times with horses like that, just changing things up gets their mindset different.
Yeah, interesting. Well, as I say, we love it back here, and the horses working out in the morning and taking advantage of the Saratoga weather and whatnot. Bruce, we appreciate the visit. Know it's a busy time up here at Saratoga. We wish you a lot of good luck, obviously, this afternoon with Robin Sparkles, and congratulations on the early win at the meet. In appreciation for your coming over from Capital OTB, here's a gift card to Jacob and Anthony's downtown. Have dinner on us and enjoy
thank
it.
You.
Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Bruce Brown, again, Robin Sparkles in the Caress today as the co-feature. We'll take a break. When we come back, John Velasquez. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Barbara. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. Saturday at Saratoga means stakes action. We just had Bruce Brown in here, who has the favorite in the Crest today. We'll talk up next the jockey of the favorite in the Coaching Club American Oaks. John Velasquez will be riding Malathat. We'll cover that, but we hit on a number of topics with John. Obviously very busy, with the stakes action, so we caught up with him a couple of days ago, but we hit on Coaching Club American Oaks, PDJF Awareness Day coming up next Saturday, and much more. Really had a fun conversation. Up next, John Velasquez.
I'm joined now by fan favorite John Velasquez. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Or allowing us to stop by, I should say, as we're in the jockey's quarters. And do you think of yourself that way? Because I know the fans do. Fan favorite.
Sometimes I do.
I guess that's the life sometimes, of a jockey. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, that works out. Wanted you in for a couple of reasons. Obviously, Malathat in the Coaching Club American Oaks on Saturday. We'll hit on that in a little bit. But coming up next Saturday, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund Awareness Day here at the racetrack. And that's a charity that we've contributed to over the past few years down at the Teletheater. We've had events down in Albany, and it's a great charity, racing-related charity, Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, PDJF. You're on the board there. Give us a little bit of background. What is the mission of the PDJF?
The mission is obviously to raise funds for the guys and girls who get hurt in the racetrack, that, you know, once they get hurt, they barely get any social security and they get any help. So this is what we do. We help them with, whether it's with cars, fixing the homes, or anything they can do so we can get a better life. And then we give them a stipend of about $1,000 a month, you know, so they can live out of that, which is poverty, if you will, you know, but at least it's a help for them to help themselves and some of them, their families as well. So this is very important for us since we don't have any guarantee funding yet. This is 2021 and we still don't have guarantee funding. This is how we raise funds so we can help those guys.
And next week is a national event, correct?
Exactly, yes. So it goes trying to do something nationally that we can raise good funds. Obviously with the pandemic and everything like that, it's been very, very little funding coming in or raising funds, if you will. So this will be one other day we can raise the good funds, you know, for the rest of the year.
So there are things going on at tracks across the country. It is again next Saturday here at the racetrack here at Saratoga, Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund Awareness Day. And that'll include autograph sessions and whatnot?
Cool, and anything that's coming. We come and you can take pictures with us, autograph sessions, and whatever they bring that we can sign for them, yes.
So keep that in mind. As I say, it's a great racing charity. The website is pdjf.org. You can go there and donate as well, and that's highly recommended. As I say, it's something that we've chipped into via Capital OTB, and it's a worthy racing charity. You do great work. And people go to the website, they can also see some of the folks who have benefited over
exactly,
the years.
Yeah. You can see the guys who benefit and the things, the work that we do. I tell everybody who goes there, go and look at it so you see all the work that's done and where the money goes. It's a great job, you know, and Nancy has done a really good job with it, you know. She was a volunteer from it, and she's been running it from day one. Yeah, we're very proud to have her.
So keep that in mind next Saturday here at the racetrack, PDJF Awareness Day. Come up, get an autograph, get your pictures taken. It's going to be a fun day, and you can donate and feel good about that as well. I want to talk to you a little bit going back to Oaks weekend. We'll, again, concentrate on Malathat a little bit in a second, but on Oaks weekend, Oaks Derby weekend, you won the Oaks, you won the Derby City Distaff, you won the Derby, three grade ones. 2 weeks later, you came back to Pimlico on Preakness weekend, won three more stakes at Pimlico. Just reflect, it's been a super 2020 season.
It has. I mean, it's been really, really good. And, you know, obviously riding these kind of horses, it helps a lot and give you a lot of confidence with people who give you the opportunity to ride these horses. I'm very proud and, you know, very pleased that they're still getting this opportunity to ride these horses.
Yeah, as I say, it has been a great first half of the year for you, clearly. And as I went to Equibase and looked up, over 6,300 victories, four derbies, if I was counting right, 18 Breeders' Cup wins, Belmont Stakes wins. I'm curious, do you have a favorite win or a most memorable win?
I don't know. I can't say I have the most... favorite horse. I mean, everyone, the emotions that you get and everything that you get from every winner is very, very special. But you always, I mean, obviously Derby is the race that everybody, you know, watching and is very known worldwide. Those are very emotional for different reasons, different owners, different, you know, trainers and different connections. So, I mean, the Derby said they're going to be there forever. But, you know, it's something that everybody's going to remember. And for me, that I didn't grew up in racing and didn't know really much about racing until I started riding horses. Definitely it was, it grew in me. And for me to be there as a self for not having won for a long time, chasing and all of a sudden winning four, definitely I think they're the most memorable, most special, if you will. Yeah.
Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby. John Velasquez does it with Authentic.
Everybody does know the Derby, and so that does stand out, obviously, on the resume. And, you know, early on, the win with Todd's horse, Always Dreaming, that had to be special.
Always Dreaming. To tell you the truth, that there are always six with me, it's winning the Belmont, you know, with Racks of Riches. That's the ones that, you know, that my first classic together with Todd as well, you know. Those are the things that you always remember where you go back and what brings you back, what keeps you coming back for more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit specifically about Malathat now, and I'll have the guys in the control room while we're talking pull up the stretch run to the Kentucky Oaks. Man, that was some stretch battle. And it looked like, about the eighth pole, looked like you were going to zip on by, and then search results kind of fights back, but you have the ding-dong battle to the wire. Just take us through that stretch run.
What experience you have. I mean, obviously, he was the horse, the other horse to beat, and we didn't break as good as we wanted to, and then we got kind of shoveled back a little bit in the first 20 yards, and I was able to get it out and get it running to the first turn and put myself right behind Ira Ortiz, which is, I thought it was the horse to beat, and the other horse to beat was on the lead, so kind of concentrated on Ira's horse. And by what time we got to the quarter pole, I was within a length, you know, and I knew I had plenty of horse, I just didn't know how much, and I didn't know how much Ira will have, though, you know, so he has narrow hooked up. We know we got the other horse inside already. So I engaged him to him, and when I asked her to do it, she responded so quick that before we got to the eight pole, she had the neck in front of the other horse. I said, man, I'm here too soon. You know, I was like, I'm thinking, damn it.
1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathat by a neck.
But like I said, she got there, and that's it. That's all she did. She kind of kept the neck in front. She kind of wanted leaning on him a little bit, so I had to be careful how much I leaned into him. But she fought the whole way. From then on, you know, she's a horse that seems to have a target, and she runs better at the target than actually getting there a little too soon. Now she's running against another really good horse, so now she knows that she had to fight, you know. And that battle from the apple to the wire was very exciting. And knowing that what I had on the knee to knee and what she was giving me, I was pretty confident. I just didn't want to go over the line that I would battle the other horse, though, you know. But other than that, I was very confident in what she was giving me underneath of me, yes.
As I say, it was at the halfway point in the year, that's one of the highlights of the racing year, that stretch battle. Yes. And Malathat and Search results down the stretch. But also, as a New York guy, I'm rooting for both of those horses, New York riders. But it was really nice after the wire to see the follow-up. And Irod reaches over and gives you a high five. And
yes,
pat
it's
on the
exciting,
back.
Though. You know, I mean, normally we're in the battle of the tanks, and all of a sudden, you know, We both give it a good ride to the horses, and obviously two good horses, and for us to go all the way down to the wire, and all of a sudden he just congratulations like this, thank you. So it's emotional though, you know. So you know, this kid's been looking up to me for many years, and they're doing great and everything, and for me to get a battle with him in a great one race and very important race and two good horses, very emotional and very satisfied to have that. You know that we all. You know, they're competitive, but on the other hand, very happy for the other one.
Yeah, just as a fan, it was just fun to watch, to see the respect and the respect for the event, too, that, okay, it was a great battle. And so Malathat on Saturday, what are your thoughts on her? You've ridden her in four of the five wins. And let me ask you this. It's a four-horse field. As a bettor, we always feel like the shorter the field, the funnier things can play out. As a rider, do you... Is it maybe easier with a few more horses to kind of come up with a plan A and plan B?
So it's a lot easier with a little more horses than the four horses, and a little more complicated now that we have the position inside, though, you know. So it gets really tricky in how much you want to do and not to get behind the two horses or three horses. Now you're on behind there and not doing anything. So I will not come out there running. If whatever wants to go, let it go. Doesn't seem to like a lot of speed, so I'm going to use it to get to the first turn. Whatever wants to go, and then I can sit whatever I'm comfortable, you know. And she's very versatile. She doesn't have to be in the lead. She's actually better following someone. And I think that the way I would play it, you know. So I'm plus one. I'm going to come out running. I mean, obviously, I got to talk to Todd now, you know, and have the strategy what's run. But this is the way I look at it, you know. Come out running to the first turn, and whatever wants to go, we'll go ahead and take it. And then are she comfortable where she is comfortable with? I'm not taking too much hold of it and not using it too much. So.
5 for 5 so far. And as I said, you've been on for four of them. So certainly she's the leader in the clubhouse in the division right now. Looking forward to Saturday, certainly. A little bit earlier, a little bit later, actually, on the card, in the Caress, you're writing In Good Spirits for Al Stahl. You haven't been on that one before. How do you prepare for that? You watch the replays, you just talk to the trainer, some combination?
A little bit of everything, though. You know, so you'll talk to the trainer first, and you get a little bit of feeling of it, what they know about the horse, and then you go see the replays. Obviously, you look at the past performance and how they run, what do you think they run their best races. And then you look at the whole field now. I mean, it's about what's your competition, how they like to be reading, or where they like to be placed. All those things kind of come on place. How the track plays, all that stuff, you know, in the day of the race, you can continue watching all that as they progress. And everything, once the gates open, now your homework and everything you've done, you kind of adjust what your horse is telling you. You know, you're going to use, obviously, me as a pilot, I'm going to use it what I think is going to be the best part of the race the best part for where to be. And then I go from there, and then you adjust as to the horse is telling you. So, yeah, for me, it's been pretty easy to adjust to that, you know, obviously, many years riding in horses that I never seen before, so you get to adjust right away, because I mean, you got to ride all the horses, good horses that you never seen before. Yeah. You better be alert and to learn all the things that you can to be able to, you know, to get the best ride you can to the
horse.
And I
assume experience plays into that. Then there becomes more of a shorthand between the trainer and the jockey, where you kind of immediately kind of get what you're getting.
Exactly. You know, I want to know a little bit about the personality of the horse, what they like, what they don't like, and then you go from there. You know. Because they know the horses better than you. They know, obviously, they've been around with the horses. That's, you want to know a little bit of the personality of the horse and what they like. And after that, it's about your homework. You know, the homework that you do, competition, what do you think is place, you know, to be the next best horse if you were in the race or next after. So you try to play those things and how I'm going to beat, and hopefully the horse respond for the things you want to do.
Is there also a little bit of, I know how that guy rides?
That's a little bit at everything. No, it had to be. You play everything. It's a little bit of mingle everything into the place. But when those gates open, you know exactly. You know a little what to expect, what not to expect, and anticipate things. You know. But the most importantly, you know, but you do the homework is how your horse respond for the things you want to do. Obviously, if you don't have the horse and doesn't respond for the things that you want to do, and then it throws everything off, then you got to do something different. Now it's like, okay, let me see what the horse is telling me and try to adjust to that as well.
Work to the circumstances. Before I let you go, and I know you're a busy guy, we really appreciate you taking the time, but there was a couple of more questions, kind of general things that I want to hit on. Obviously in the news over the past, you know, couple of months, but certainly with the Haskell a couple of weeks ago, you're co-chair of the Jockeys Guild, so I'm sure there's been a lot of talk amongst the jockeys about it, but what are your thoughts, your perspective on the crop rules down in New Jersey?
I mean, it's not new that I'm against it, obviously, and I think it's not good for the horses and the jockeys and the safety of both of them, by the way, but the horse and the riders. And this is what I was afraid of, you know, that horses like to, most horses like to be next to another horse, so, you know, and when they're competitive, they want to be one against one another. It's very rare, you know, you could be a claimant race or you could be an allowance race that the horse can go out and he was much the best.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you put it horses that are very competitive, whether it's a stake race or a claimant race or allowance, that they are very competitive, that's the most, for the most part, that's how it plays anyway, though, you know. And by you not having any tool that you can get it, I mean, you can pull as much as you want.
Yeah.
I mean, the horse is going to beat you no matter what. It's stronger than you, and it's going to beat you no matter what. So you can pull as much as you want. And if you don't have something, say you give it a signal to the horse, say, hey, listen, you got to respect what I'm trying to do, and it's going to happen. You know, I'm very surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised. It just happened that in the biggest race that they have in Jersey, and something like this happened, though, you know. So it makes the horse and the rider are both okay, though, you know. And it's always been my fear that this is going to come, and this headed, by the way, it's playing Russian roulette, because when the horses do something, you know, they're going to go. And if you don't have a tool where you can control a little bit, that's going to happen. And things are happening, and that now they have three cases back to back. The horse was pulled in, and the guy had to use, you know, the crop to make sure that he had it, end up winning the race. He was pulled in and end up winning the race. That's on a case in review. Another guy, which I don't know the other one, but it's in review as well. Those things that's going to happen and going to happen more often. You know, so like horses can be very difficult, you know, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon. You don't know how they're going to react. It's just in the morning it could be perfect, in the afternoon it's a different horse. Something triggers the mind and do something. So at least you have to have something that the horse is going to respect you, you know. And the way they're doing it now, but by the way, and that enforcing the rule the way they actually written, because you weren't even supposed to show it. So now they can throw the reins and show the whip, so that you have a little respect by the horses, which I'm glad, because at least it's a little safety thing for the horses. And but by the time you switch and you show it, the horse is gone, though, you know. So those things need to go away. It's dangerous, and to tell you the truth, it changes, you know, the integrity of the race as well, though, you know. If that doesn't happen, the other day you can just, you know, use the whip left-handed once or twice, just make sure the horse goes straight a little bit. Not only goes straight, it goes away. That horse is feeling empty now. He's going to a horse that's stopping, right? It's slowing, he's passing now, so he has half a lane in front of him. He's going to start waiting. He's going to start waiting, and he's going to take the space from there. Now he feels the other horse over there. Even if I don't want to, and even that I'm doing this, he's stronger than me, he's going to take me there, though, you know. And a guy on Twitter, texting me or on Twitter, it's like, look, this one has the crap and he's beat him and the horse keep going all the way outside. And I said, thank you very much for showing how difficult it is riding a horse when it wants to go out or wants to go in, and you're still trying to skip in straight. Look at how far that horse going out. So those things people have to say, to imagine not having anything and the horse is going, it's going to take you.
Yeah.
It's stronger. It's much stronger than the jockey. I mean, they weigh 1,000 pounds. We weigh 110 pounds, 115 pounds, so, you know. So people, I'm trying to explain to people that it's very difficult to do what they're trying to do. Do we need crop reform? I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I'm saying, let me be clear. Let me be clear that
medium?
I always say that. Do we need to? Yes. If there are jockeys that abuse it, yes. So we have to be better on implementing the rules that we have, or the rules that we may have in the future, that be implemented the way it should be, so those guys who actually go overboard, so you know, you need to be punished. But not everybody does that, though, you know. So the theory is that everybody goes and tries to beat the horses, which is not true, though, you know. So you always get the one or two, just like any trainer or anything like that, to cheat or try to go over the board. Those guys should be punished, right? So same thing with the crowd. So going back to the same thing, so like, do I think that we need it? Yes, we need a crop reform that is going to be feasible to ride horses, for the safety of the horse, you know, and for the riders, and for the integrity of the race, though, you know. What just happened there, I mean, it changed the whole integrity of the race for nothing, you know, for something that that should be avoided. And I'm going back to the same thing. I'm glad that I'm in the HISA committee, that I can help. Hopefully we can commit to something that is actually feasible for the riders and the horses, that is, and also for the public, you know, that is feasible for everybody, for the owners and breeders and everybody else who's involved in racing. And it's safe for the horses. And let me add first that we have changed the whips. Used to be whips, now they're crap, for a more softer paper and everything. We have no cuts, we have no welts or anything like that. The way they used to, they cut the horses being unmarked. We have none of that. And that's why we had the vets who actually checks the horses after the race, before and after, you know. So those have gone away. And well, you know, so that means we are more safety for the horse, you know, doesn't cut him, doesn't do anything that is gonna harm the horse, but also a respect for the horse that you want to guide him. And people want to say, well, when did it change that people are guiding the horse with whip? You're not guiding the horse with the whip. You're guiding him with your hands. But when you don't have your hands, that's the only that's going to respect you, though, you know. That's my point, that people start thinking, oh, this stuff's all, the jockeys right now, they just want to steer the horses with the whip or the crap. That's not true, you know. They are stronger than us. They are much stronger than us. And then, and when they don't respect that pulling, you need something to let them know that, listen, you need to respect what I'm doing. And not only that, now competitive. Forget about the other one. The rule in Jersey tells you that you can't encourage the horse for anything. So now you're taking away the competitive of the horses, what they can give you the best, though, you know. And by the way, the same example I want to give you is that what happened in Jersey the other day, same thing. Now the horses, like I was saying, the horse is passing. Now he's losing his competitor. His horse is not there now. Now he thinks he's by himself, so he's going to start waiting and going to the inside, kind of feeling the other horse. Now the other one comes in. Now he's going to go with the other horses. You see how they continue going running? Well, because that's part of being competitive, being against one another. So those things need to be in place. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have more accidents. It's just like I keep explaining to people, it's playing Russian roulette. You know, you don't know when that thing is going to go up, and it unfortunately happened in the bigger race.
Yeah, I appreciate your perspective on that, because as I say, it's become an issue over the past, and it plays into the betters too, because the results got turned around the other day, and so somewhere there is some kind of happy medium, and hopefully folks like you get involved, and people listen to the guys who are actually out there doing it, and we do come up with a set of rules.
It's important for all of us, and it's important for the game. It's important for that we do something that is feasible to work with the horses, for the integrity of the race, for safety for everybody, and actually for the betters as well. You know, horses first. I mean, horses is first. Make sure that we actually keep the horses safe, and we don't have to abuse the horses and so on. They're not being abused. They're not being cut. That's the first thing. And I agree with everybody who wants to talk. Horses are first, because I mean, I'm a jockey. Was a racetrack person. I grew up around horses since I was 5-6 years old. Their love for the horses first for me, though, you know. The work came after, you know. And I'm for the horses first, and I do anything that's possible, even beforehand, after the horses retire, that we make sure the horses are taken care of after they retire as well. I'm in every board that I can possibly be on, and if I'm not, I want to be there to help, though, you know. So it's part of the whole thing that you know, the whole circle that, okay, the horses first, and after need to be taken care of. But then we have the human aspect, though, you know, and I'm at the board of PDJF, I mean, because it goes hands in hand with everything. A horse falls, a jockey falls, though, you know. So they need to, you know, be actually help as well, though. So it goes in hand with it. So everything that has to be done, whether it's safety for horses and jockeys, I want to be there, because this is my livelihood. It's been great for me and my family. I've been very blessed for the horses that I've been riding and breeding in my career. But giving back and make sure the horses are safe, and the horses, yes, that's my job.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciated your perspective, because with your level of knowledge and experience and the fact that you are on all of these various boards, you're a guy who could speak to that knowledgeably, and we appreciate that perspective. Before I let you go, though, one more question. Saratoga, probably the most fan-friendly track, and the track where there's the most interaction between the jockeys and the fans. So how fun was it to come back this year and have the fans
and
back?
It's great to be here. It's great to, you know, see the fans be back, see the excitement from the fans. It gives you goosebumps, you know, when you go out there, and even when you walk in through the crowd, you know, seeing these things, it's a special place, though, you know. So this is, like you say, this is the only time that we interact with the fans for most of the time. We even when we come back from the winner's circle to here, from here to the paddock, and it's great. I mean, people come in for autograph and pictures and so on. So it's a special place. There's definitely that you interact with the fans, and they love it. You know, that's what makes Saratoga a little bit special, you know.
As I say, John Velasquez, a fan favorite up here at Saratoga. Appreciate your taking the time. I know it's very busy. Good luck on the weekend, Malathat and the coaching club, American Oaks. And again, I'll remind people, next Saturday, it's PDJF Awareness Day here at the track. You can get an autograph and a picture with John and the other jockeys as well. So make sure to come up for that. I know it's a busy time. We really appreciate it. But on behalf of Capital OTB, we want to give you a gift card to Pinnell's. Go over and have dinner on us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That would be a great dinner to go over there.
Thanks.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as serious horse players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
Happy to be joined now by Carrie Bryan, and I thought we'd have her in because there's been two Grade 1 races run at the meet so far, and she has won one of them, the Grade 1 Smithwick on Thursday. Carrie, good morning. Congratulations.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Has that sunk in, two Grade 1s, and you picked up one of them?
No. Didn't even know that, but yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah, the Diana and the Smithwick on Thursday. And let's take a look, and let's... talk a little bit about the performance, because this was a nice run from Baltimore Bucko. We're going to take a look at the stretch run. Baltimore Bucko will be the number three horse, taking them all the way around. Number one was French Light, another one of your horses. So 1-2 in the Smithwick. Talk about the performance from Baltimore Bucko.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You know, he just seems like a horse that keeps improving. Rod, his owner, bought him, two years ago now, and, you know, we bought him unraced, and, you know, it was always the plan to take him through the ranks. I'm surprised he's already a Grade 1 winner, but it's super exciting. But, yeah, Tom Garner gave him a great ride, and the plan was to go to the front because there wasn't much pace, and really they just kind of let him have it. He had it his way, and it worked out, yeah.
Yeah, how confident did you feel turning for home because he'd...
Well... Yeah, I was confident after they jumped the last. I knew I was going to be 1-2, but I wasn't sure. French Light's very fast, and I wasn't sure if he might catch him or not. But, you know, I think French Light lacking the run since Ireland probably caught him out a little bit this time. But, yeah, huge run from both of them.
So I'm guessing the game plan. I talked to Bill Gallo yesterday, Friday, and he said, happy to see the New York Turf Riders has been renamed in honor of Jonathan Shepherd, but I would guess the second Grade 1 of the meet, you'll be pointing in that direction.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, definitely the two will go back there. Galway Kid seems fine this morning, so I'll talk to the owner and see. He probably would like a further distance, which the next one's 2 3/8. So definitely, I mean, touch wood, the two and maybe three, yeah.
Very good. You're coming over here this morning after some turf works, and one of the horses that worked of yours was the Mean Queen, and we're going to pull up a race going back to the end of June, the Percy Warner meet down in Nashville. It's the Nashville meet, right?
Yep.
We're going to look at the Mean Queen winning down there. She'll be the number one horse here. She was working this morning. A, how did she work out? And the game plan, I understand, is to go to the rescheduled Kaiser.
Correct, yeah. You know, luckily... Unfortunately, it had to be rescheduled with the rain that we got. And I was a little bit, she's not easy to train. She's named correctly. And I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do, but they have rescheduled it for Wednesday, which is great. So it just worked out, Turf Works were this morning, so I was able to get her and my other runner for the novice stake out there. They worked together. You know, we didn't bring them off the bridle or anything, just kind of a lung opener and a leg stretcher, but she's really special. She's fun to watch. She's fun to train, but she's just not easy.
Yeah, the win down in Nashville was very nice, very convincing, and Wednesday, she'll be facing the boys, correct?
She will, and she actually faced the boys her first run in America. It was a non-runners of two, and she annihilated the field that day. When she won against the girls, she might have only won, I think it was three or four lengths, but I mean, she was never out of a gallop. Yeah. He never asked her. She's really special. You know, this is going to be a test. This is going to be the best boys she's run against, but I'm confident she'll run well, yeah.
So the win on Thursday, I understand your first starter at Saratoga. You pick up a grade one. What are your expectations now going forward for Saratoga?
Yeah, God, I mean, I'm like at the top, like it only goes downhill from here, right? Like it doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, look, a couple more wins would be great. You know, these, I'm lucky and I'm so fortunate to have great owners that have bought these horses. And, you know, most of these horses I picked out in Ireland and they bought off my recommendation. And so it's, you know, it's really rewarding, not just to train them, but I had picked them out as well. And the owners have stuck with me and everything. So, yeah, look, I guess win a novice stake now. I mean, the main goal, I'd love to win the Jonathan Shepherd. I mean, that's kind of been in the back of my mind this whole time. But, yeah, take it as it comes,
I guess. How many horses do you have up here, and are they all jumpers?
I actually am not stabled up here, but because of the quarantine that had happened with the EHV, we can't go back to Fair Hill until August 1st. So it just has worked out. My three that ran yesterday are going back to my owner's farm, and they'll just hang out there for a week. And then I'm staying up here with my two, and I have a flat horse to run on the flat next Friday.
Ah,
so,
very good.
Yeah.
Normally what... Fair Hill?
Yeah, I'm at Fair Hill. Yeah, I have about 30, 35 horses at Fair Hill, jumpers and flat. So
nice.
I do train flat horses as well.
Okay. Nice central location.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, to run all around, really.
Everybody who trains down there, you know, raves about it.
It's
because different training
it's
services,
great
atmosphere.
Great training facility. I mean, it has everything you could want. So, yeah, it's great.
Speaking of places different than here, last winter you were over in Ireland. I'd love to get a little thought on that experience and checking, doing a little research. First American trainer to win a bumper and a jump race, what, in the same day, was it?
Ever. There's never been an American-trained winner over there, over jumps or a bumper, which is a flat race.
Yeah, explain a bumper.
Yeah, a bumper is a flat race that doesn't come out of a starting gate. So, and it's at their jump meets and it is for money. So, we don't really have those over here. Ours are kind of called training flat races and there's no money involved. They're literally training races. Over there, they count for their record and whatnot. So I won a bumper first. It was at the very end of me being there. I won a bumper. I think it was like April 4th or 5th and for the Nailers who own French Light. And then I turned around like 4 or 5 days later and the Mean Queen won the hurdle 2 days before we left. So that was,
Talk about the experience in Ireland.
Yeah, amazing. And I think I've taken a lot from it. I think part of Bucko's, you know, rapid kind of just rise to the top has been the stamina that we put into them in Ireland. It's way different training over there. So obviously we had to put the speed back into them when they came here, but I don't think they'll ever lose the stamina that they got those 4 months we were there. You train completely different. You know, it's just stamina. It's, you don't even work them. Like, they don't work for speed. It's, you gallop them 6 miles on the beach in the heavy sand rather than work them 5/8 on the track. Like, it's totally different. But it, you know what? It goes to show how incredible horses are because, I mean, these, like, Bucko ran very well in Ireland over heavy ground. And I mean, it was knee deep in places and he just came out and won on, this would have been firm ground in Saratoga. So it's amazing. You train him to do almost anything if you listen to him. So
what's the difference between the racetrack experience over there and the fans over there? And
well, I was there during COVID.
Right.
That was the one thing that, I mean, hopefully I go back at some stage, you know, there's talks of doing something, you know, this winter, but that was the one thing. And I was fortunate enough to run some of the horses at some pretty big festivals and tracks, and I didn't really get to experience what it would have been like having runners there with fans, but hopefully, you know, in the future.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of your background, because we talked about it'd be fun to win the Shepherd. It'd be especially fun for you because you have a relationship. People who watch the show enough know I have been a huge Jonathan Shepherd fan over the years, and people make fun of me on the front. Say, hey, Shepherd's got one in the eighth race. You must be playing it. It's great that they have the race named after him towards the end of the meet to honor him. That was a fabulous move. But talk a little bit That's about great. Your experience as
yeah.
an assistant.
Yeah, I worked for Jonathan for 11 years up until this winter, you know, when I was in Ireland and the decision was made that he was going to retire. And, I mean, I learned so much from him. I mean, I'm so, so lucky. A lot of great trainers have come up, you know, under him. So I'm just fortunate. And it was great, you know, the last couple of years as he started to, you know, back off a little bit with what he was doing. He gave me a lot more, you know, free rein in the operation, which really kind of prepared me for where I am now, I'd say. And he allowed me to get a really good, you know, relationship with the owners, which really helped me now. I mean, it's all about the owners, and I'm fortunate to have. I mean, I have a lot, and I've gotten more owners since I've gone out on my own, but I have four, you know, main owners that stuck, you know, with me, and that's been a huge part of it too.
Yeah, it, again, the legend in the game, so certainly to study under him had a great experience.
Yeah.
And we were talking when you sat down, and they said, we had you in here before, you were riding.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the riding experience transitioning into training and how it has benefited you.
You know, I always knew I wanted to train the riding. I never wanted to do that as, like, I never wanted to be champion jockey or anything like that, but I'm competitive, and it was something I enjoyed doing. And, you know, I was lucky enough to ride for Jonathan. So, yeah, I got to ride. You know, I won my first race at Nashville in the biggest stage. I was able to ride up here. You know, I kind of did all I wanted to do, really. And when he started to, you know, just kind of slow his role a bit and give me more responsibility on the training end, I felt like that was a good time to focus more on, you know, the training. And I had he let me have a couple horses of my own to train at the farm and whatnot over the years. So, you know, I just kind of, it was time, I think. So I think I rode for 4 or 5 years, and it was good. It's great to have that on the resume and to have had that experience. But,
and does that play into your training?
Yeah.
Does that experience, you know, give you a different insight?
I think it does, especially with the jumpers more even than the flat horses, because I think, you know, knowing what it's like out riding a jump race, and I was fortunate enough, I did ride up here, and I rode, you know, I rode a lot of the different tracks, so I also know what courses suit what horses and that type of thing, you know. So
give us a little bit about your background. How did you originally get into the game?
My family is not horse oriented at all, and I grew up 5 minutes down the road from Silmar Farm, who bred Princess of Silmar, and it was actually Ronnie and Betsy Houghton and Bernie Houghton that taught me how to gallop and got me involved. I was 10 years old, like, you know, doing the typical farmhand stuff, and I worked for them for 8 years and then went off to college for a semester away. I was a pole vaulter, but I came home and I finished my degree at Westchester, and I started working for Jonathan. One of my good friends at the time was working for him, and she said, come on over and just ride out, and it kind of started there. I was just a rider, and here I am.
Pole vaulter, that's...
Yeah, different.
what was your... highest
11 feet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So. give us an idea of, as you say, you kind of kicked things off COVID time, and you're over there in Ireland, just from your perspective, and yesterday had to be very special, but give us your perspective with the fans back and being
I mean, even just like being here like Tuesday, and you know, that, which was a dark day, but like, you know, things were milling around, there were people around, and it was just amazing to be back with that. And then just even, you know, walking out of the paddock yesterday, after saddling 3 horses and sending them out to the track, I like had to stop for a second, and I was like, this is real life. Like, you know, the fans do it. The fans make it what it is. I mean, I don't think I still would have been very, very special, but it's very special to have it. I'm glad it's now in these, you know, it's back to normal basically, which is great. You know, it's really good.
And again, congratulations on a great way to kick off the career at Saratoga.
Thank
with the
you.
Great one, Smith.
Yeah.
With you. We wish you a lot of good luck going forward. The Mean Queen we'll look for next Wednesday. Your flat runner next?
Yeah, it's actually a maiden for next Friday, a mile and 3/8 on the turf. He was third at Delaware last time out, and maybe taking a bit of a shot, but he's a nice colt, and he seems to be improving, and he wants the distance, and you can't really get those distance races anywhere else. Yeah. So we'll see if it sets him, you know, might set him forward a bit to have the extra distance. So, right. Yeah, so that's
the plan. For that one as well.
Yeah.
And with the jump horses going forward. But again, a lot of congratulations and
good luck
on ahead.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Kerry Bryan again winning the second grade one of the meet in their first start at Saratoga, winning the Smithwick on Thursday with Baltimore Bucko. All right, we will go to a break. Be back with more Racing Across America right after this.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of Racing Across America on Coaching Club American Oaks Saturday. Also, the Caress. And speaking of the Caress, thanks to Bruce Brown for swinging by. He has Robin Sparkles, the favorite, in the Caress. John Velasquez will be riding the favorite, Malathat, in the Coaching Club American Oaks. And again, thanks to Kerry Brown, Brian, for stopping by as well, who, as I say, her first Saratoga starter. And she gets a grade one. Easy game. So congratulations, her. And again, thanks to everybody for showing up this morning. Thanks to you for tuning in. Before we let you go, just want to update you on the promos coming up here at Capital OTV. Don't forget, the syndicate has been filled for this week, obviously, but every Saturday during the meet, we'll have a $1,500 Saratoga syndicate. They open on Sundays. So if you'd like to get in next week's, check the website, capitalotv.com, tomorrow for next week's syndicate. For a $50 buy-in, you get in on a $1,500 pick ticket on a Saturday up here at Saratoga. It's an easy way to take a big shot and maybe have some real fun for a reasonable amount of money every Saturday. The syndicate here at Saratoga, again, opens up on Sunday via CapitalOTV.com. Saturday also means the $100 pick three play. I think you can still go to the website and put your name into that for this afternoon. I'll have the pick three plays coming up a little bit later on, CapitalOTV.com, for that information. Today also is a Play the Board handicapping contest down at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you swing by the Racebook, you can take your shot there and maybe win a little free dough, courtesy of Capital OTV. Tomorrow, $100 show parlay promotion. I will have that tomorrow via the website again to put your name in for a chance to be on the team, CapitalOTV.com. And tomorrow, Sunday also, the Naira Pick 4 and the Match Bet promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. All tomorrow, Sunday. You can always check out and keep up with the promos and events here at Capital OTV by going to CapitalOTV.com. And believe me, we are loaded for bear, as they say, with promos and events during the Saratoga season, which means free money for you, our Capital OTV patrons. So keep that in mind as the season progresses. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, we kick things off at 9 a.m. with the Handicapper Support. At 10 a.m., it will be loose on the lead. If you watched earlier and saw the play today, my partner Steve Bick is actually down at Colonial Downs to do some radio for the beginning of the week, so we'll zoom him in at the top of the show tomorrow and then continue on with a Sunday loose on the lead at 10 a.m. So enjoy the racing this afternoon. Gorgeous day wherever you are. If you're coming up here, if you're playing via CapitalOTVBet.com on your phone or your tablet or whatnot, and you're out by your pool, enjoy. It's going to be a great day. Weather-wise, a fabulous day racing. So enjoy. Cash some tickets. We'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Report.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Pinnell's Restaurant, a 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.